So my name's Therese Sweeney and I'm interviewing, who am I interviewing today? Benny Mallette?
Yeah,
is that
Benny
your full,
Mallette.
Is that your full name?
On my naturalised paper it's got Benedict, but it was too long, so I just made it Ben, B-E-N, a lot shorter.
And what year were you born, Ben?
1931, 10th of March.
And where?
Well, it used to be Yugoslavia, now they call it Croatia.
What town?
It's on the island of Korčula, and the village is Blato.
So who else from here? Did you know anyone from here in Blato when you were, obviously a lot of people from here? But...
Well, Kathy Zanatic's mother, she came on the same boat as we did. And I know all the Turliches. Contestas, Kunasic.
How many of you in your family, what were your parents' names?
My father's name was the same as mine, and my grandfather's name was the same as mine.
Is that a tradition?
I think so.
Sounds like a tradition.
Oh, yeah.
And your mother's name?
She was Kawato. Kawato was her name, K-A-T-A, that's what they call it over there. I suppose it would be Kathy or something like that if you changed it.
What do you remember before you migrated? How old were you when you migrated?
Oh, I left over there in March, so I was 8.
Any memories? What do you remember before you came over?
Remember, I know we had to catch a bus. And then we got a ferry, and then we went across to Italy, and then we got on a train to pick the boat up. That's what I can remember.
How many of you came over?
Oh, there was mum, sister, brother, and myself, three of us. And the youngest one was born here, Tony.
So, do you remember growing up in Blato?
Oh, not that much. I know I fell over a few times. I had a few marks on my chin. I've got here, I think. They reckon a donkey hit me, I don't know.
Is that what happened to you?
Up here, so they reckon. Yeah.
So, when, it's quite a journey to get on a boat, isn't it?
It took us a month. But that was better than the people that come in the early 30s or late 20s. It used to take them 6 weeks or more.
So what year did you actually migrate here?
39. We come here in April 39.
Did you hit Sydney or were you here? Did you arrive in Sydney?
Yeah, we got off at Sydney and then we lived in Cabramatta. St. John's Road, Cabramatta, from 39 till 42. They grew tomatoes there. And then because we didn't have that much land, we moved to Kelly Street, Rossmore, in 1942. He stayed there till 47. And then we moved to Bringelly, on the corner of Bringelly Road and Rickard Road in 47. Well, I've been here ever since then.
So why do you grow tomatoes? Why did everybody grow tomatoes?
Oh, well, if you didn't have a trade and there wasn't much work around, so, you know, they were farmers over back home, so my father was like, he was a stonemason over there, and when he came here, he worked as a stonemason for a couple of years. He came here at 37, he worked for like a stonemason for a couple of years.
Where was that?
In Sydney, yeah. He worked with some cousins of his, and then he made a few pounds, and then he bought us out.
And then bought some land?
Yeah, he saved a few pounds. When we first came to Cabramatta, because he only had a shed on the farm, and he had to build a house. I don't know how long it took. It didn't take that long, but we had to walk about half a kilometre to go to our relations to go to sleep, the five of us.
So you didn't. So when you arrived, there was a shed and you'd sleep with relatives.
Yeah, the shed was only for like a year. My father probably slept in there, but it wasn't big enough to live in. And when he built the house, we moved in.
So you mentioned some of your neighbours in Cabramatta.
Cabramatta. There was Tillich's, there was Witzelich, there was Barnovich, Sardelich. Across the road there was Australian, there was one particular family, Lunn and Johnson's, like Australian people. Actually, I met him at the reunion, one of the Normie Johnson that lived. I said, I've known you since 1939.
So what did the landscape look like? Was it all farming land?
Yeah, it was open space, like, you know, but there were only smaller farms, you know, 2.5 acres, most of them.
And what do you remember as a young boy? How did you help out on the farm?
Oh, well, we like, you had to do a bit. Mm. You had to water the tomatoes and pick and pack and, you know. But when the tractors, we didn't get a tractor till about 48, I think, or something. That was, I used to like driving the tractor.
Where did you go to school?
I went to St John's Park for about, 39 to 3 years there, and the rest I finished up at Austral.
And that must have been challenging because you wouldn't have been speaking English.
No, but when we went to school to St John's Park, there was some of our people, like, you know, but it didn't take long to pick it up.
And did you?
When you're young, you pick it up.
Yeah, that's true. So what else about Cabramatta that you recall?
Oh, not much.
Did you have buses? How did you get to school?
We walked. We walked from Cabramatta to St John's Park. It wasn't that far, but you wouldn't do it now. And when we lived at Rossmore, we used to go down through a paddock, get on the 6th Avenue, and then 4th Avenue, and then 7th and up to school. No four-wheel drives picking you up and dropping you off like now.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, well, they were the good old days,
fat
I reckon.
Kids.
But so, they were the good days, you know. There was not a mad like now, you know. You can't let kids go to school on their own now because there's too many crooks around. Things are different.
So, what games did you play as kids?
Not much. I didn't play any sport much.
I meant like on the farms, did you? Like, I know Peter Tulich went rabbit shooting or something,
and did you? Oh, yes, I didn't go myself, but I had a friend. I think his name was Barry Marlin. He used to go to Austral School. They live in across the road there at Scotts Park in a tent for a while. The whole family, and he used to have a ferret, and I used to go with him. Yeah.
And what did you do? Just hang out and muck around.
Oh, well, you couldn't muck around when you're on a farm, you were working. Yeah, you had to work. It wasn't hard work, but you had to help.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what did your mum do?
It was same, like cook and then work in the garden at the farm too.
And do you remember who the carrier was back then or any names?
There was family by the name of Gergich. They used to have trucks and the cart, and then later on my father bought a truck and he used to go himself to the market, and I used to have a day off school and go and help him sometimes. I didn't like going to school that much.
And was the market, where was the market in it?
Down at
Paddy's.
Down there.
What do you remember? Near, as a young kid, what did you remember about the market?
Oh, well, you used to go down there, and if you didn't tip the fella that looked after the stand, he'd put you in the wrong place. He'd put you where the flowers are instead of where the tomatoes were. You had to get, you had to tip them.
Was it you that told me about the two-up? They'd all be playing two-up?
Oh, I don't. That they only play two up, I think, mostly on Anzac Day, don't they?
Oh, right, yeah, no, someone else then.
he used to come down there about 7 o'clock before it opened. He'd go like this, and then you put a pound in his hand. That was big money then, pound.
So it must have been worth a bit to get the right spot.
Oh, yeah.
Did it seem big to you? Like, what sort of food was coming in?
Tomatoes. During the war, a lot of the... in one time there, in the wartime, the army had first preference in the market. They used to shop buy first, and then the shopkeepers. Yeah. And we used to pick green tomatoes, you know, fully grown, like mature, and they were sending them to New Guinea. Yeah.
What types of tomatoes did you grow?
Oh, they call them China, and then there was one they call Cross Lys or something like that. Mm.
So what are you two laughing at?
Nah. You're laughing at me.
So you moved... How old were you when you moved to Rossmore?
Moved to Rossmore. What
you moved to a few locations. Why was that? Kelly Street, then up there. Why did you move?
Well, when you grow tomatoes, because you didn't have that much land, once you use it once, you've got to have virgin land nearly all, you know, for tomatoes, and you move on. And then when we moved to Kelly Street, Rossmore, it was a bit lower, you know, and we stayed there till about 5 years, and then we moved here where we are now.
Sorry, you're tapping.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was about the land, the virgin land.
Yeah, yeah. Same as if I grew tomatoes when I got married, I only put one crop in, but if I kept on the farm, I would have had to move from here.
So how did the area look?
Oh, well, this place we're on now, you know, this house... And there were three families from here to the next road. Three properties. To the next road is Ingleburn Road.
So between, you're saying, Bridgelly Road and Ingleburn Road?
Yeah, there were three properties.
And what were their names?
The Bowdovich was our neighbour, and Teagles.
Were the big Teagles or the little Teagles?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. There's two Teagles. Were the chicken people or the...
No, they were, might have been related, I doubt it, but he wasn't with them.
And you all grew the same crops?
But most of the... A fair few people around here, like, not only our people, like Yugoslav people, a lot of Australian people. You had the Northies, Masterfield, Cox, Langdon... Yeomans, and there was Laidley's, you know, and over this way, Austral, there was Goldfinches. They used to grow tomatoes. Stories had chooks.
Did you bring the tomatoes in, or were the tomatoes already being grown in Australia?
Well, I think it was already grown.
But you were the perfectionist.
The first people here at Leppington were the Perriches. They are the ones that got murdered that time in their house. Yeah, they were the first ones here.
They were the first...
In Leppington, when we come here. And down here in Dixon Road was Bruner, you know, Tremarchi. Her name was Baghetti. They were the two foreign-like families when we come here.
So the attraction of the Croatians moving here, obviously it's just about your own community and you keep following each other.
Yeah. That's the way it is.
So it was probably because of the cheaper land and... So the Perriches were the first family and then... your family.
No, there was others too, like Zanatic's parents.
So it was pretty rugged bushland.
Oh, yeah.
So what are some of the biggest changes you've seen over the last... It's a big question, though, isn't it? It's a bit silly.
No, well, I mean, like this property here, it used to be one house on the corner down there, and now there's about six on it.
So can you talk about when you met your wife and where that was? No, you're talking about it. Francis, yeah, can give her version.
She was born in Victoria.
Yes. Do you want to talk, Francis, for a minute?
What?
Let's hear you. Yeah.
No, I'm hopeless.
No. Do you know, I'll just ask you. So you were born in Victoria. What's your date of birth?
29th of the 9th, 1932.
So we both had our birthday yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Well, yours too. And the Prime
Minister too. Yes, happy birthday.
The same year.
Prime Minister.
Yeah,
but the Prime Minister,
she was born. Yes, I know.
Mm.
So, we're the same date. Mm. They are.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday.
So we'll just get that date again in case I was too excited. The 29th of the 9th,
1932.
And you were born where?
In a country town called Sylvan. In Victoria.
So what was your journey to here?
I met Ben in 31. No, sorry. What year was that?
52.
Yeah.
Now, was Ben in Melbourne or you were in Sydney?
He was in Melbourne. Mm.
How did you meet Ben?
Through friends, relatives.
Yeah.
Where at?
This country place, the name of Sylvan, Victoria.
And was it at a dance or?
I used to grow strawberries down there.
I'd come down for a holiday.
Okay, hang on. So
they grew strawberries down in Sylvan.
Okay. So you went down to pick strawberries, or?
No, I didn't go down to pick strawberries.
Sorry, I don't know. What did you go down there for? Womanising?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So you went down... Okay, so you met...
No, people. They come from the same... island or the same village, they used to, you know, you go down and visit them sometimes.
So what's your former name?
Sorry?
Before you were married?
Francis Stanich, Stanich.
Okay. And were you born here? You were born here in Sydney?
Victoria.
Yes.
Country place.
So your parents migrated out here?
Yes, my dad came out in 1927 and my mum in 1931.
And you came
and I was born that year.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, only child.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Born on a very special day.
It's got to be, doesn't it?
So, they were strawberry farmers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
What did you do on the straw? How do you grow strawberries?
Oh, in rows and yeah, a very popular area it was for strawberry growing.
Is there much money in it?
How about a cent a punnet?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very hard.
No, but they all made a living out of it.
Mm.
Yeah, just hang on. I'm asking your wife.
Yeah, but she's too slow.
Everything's got to be in a hurry, Ben.
So, what sort of prices were you selling punnets for?
Oh, gee, I was only a kid then. And we had people helping, you know.
Yeah.
What can I say? Don't know. And my dad, like I said, came out in 1927, and there was a big dam, a reservoir being built, but that was quickly... taken up with workers coming from European mostly country. And
in that area?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So my dad was potato digging all over Victoria. And then there was this so I had it written down there, and I can't think of it now, so. Sir Edmund Quinn. And there was this man, Sir Edmund, what was the other name? I can't think of his name. I wrote it down there the other day. I can't, I have to have a break now.
So, I'm pausing, Emma.
This fellow, I don't count it in because it's not going to be a decent sentence.
That's all right, you can edit it. I just want to hear you talking.
Can't understand it.
What's that? Sir Edmund Creswell. This was a man that the government gave him a lot of land, and so the people that came out, they bought land. My dad bought 10 acres, yes, and then a strawberry growing and strawberry picking. But Edmund Chrysler, is to do with boats, and so the government gave him a lot of land to distribute around. They were very kind people. Yeah.
That's good. That's a good way. Okay, so
he's an expert now.
They moved.
So you moved, you went, yeah, go on.
Her parents moved up here in 1960.
They
bought 5 acres next door here from my brother. And they were there in 1960. They grew tomatoes too then.
Everybody grew tomatoes?
Yeah.
In Victoria's strawberries.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, well, people made a living, you know.
My dad would go all over Victoria digging potatoes from Mildura to whatever, and his home was a tent and a suitcase. That was his home before he bought the land from this government thing that was going on.
It was hard times.
Wasn't that
it?
Was when for them, first coming,
yeah. No, yeah. Was 1927. That it was very, very hard.
We used to go from farm to farm digging potatoes.
Yeah.
What did that involve? Just explain that to me.
Well, they used to dig them and put them in bags. You get so much a bag to dig them out.
So potatoes were growing wild, is that what you're saying?
No. He'd go on a farm, helping out on farm till he made a few pounds, and then he bought his own property.
It's a hard way to make a dollar, isn't it?
They were used to working hard.
Yes.
Not
right.
Like the people now.
No, I know. That's what we're trying to capture.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you didn't work, there was no money coming in, not like now.
So, when you talk about digging potatoes, literally explain, describe it to me. Like,
They had like a fork, and then they dig them out and put them in a bag and get so much. I think they used to get a shilling a bag or something.
And they'd sell them at the market?
Oh, well, the owner sells them. You only work for him.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I gotcha.
And they also used to, on the farms, have a well where the water can be pumped up, like all manually sort of thing. And I think at one stage my dad had built a deep one about 40-something feet. This water thing, it's water that you don't know that it's there, you know, and then it's
like artesian.
Yeah.
But people were working for 6 bob a day on the farm.
So you'd left the farming life
because he wanted to drive it.
No, well, I I wasn't real keen in it, you know.
You would have been burnt out as a young one. Like, was that relevant?
It wasn't real hard work.
It's family.
We did have hard work when we first come here, pulling trees down. You want to take a photo of the puller?
Yes, I will at some point today. Are you going to show me how to do it? I'm joking.
No, well, you got to do all the ropes and that, but I'll show you what the thing is. It was good if it rained, heavy rain, you'd only dig around the bottom of the tree, around the trunk, cut a few roots, hook it to the next tree, like, further away, and then you'd pull them down. It wasn't easy, but... And there was no chainsaw, you had a two-man saw.
Was it with a chain? Did you chain them as well? Like, you know, have the chain, drag the chains across? Or is that...
No, they had wire ropes they used to tie them with. And I'll show you after.
Okay.
That gentleman there who had all the land, Sir Edmund Chrysler. And I, after quite many years, I read in the newspaper at Wollongong paper about this man, and that was many, many years ago. I thought, oh, it'd be a good idea to go into the library and catch up on something that's very old.
Yeah, but same with this land we're on here.
Yes.
We had the original deeds, the original ones, the proper... deed that wouldn't burn, you know, a thick paper one, and it had on it, this parcel of land was a parcel of 3,000 acres in 1830 owned by a fellow named Riley. 3,000 acres he had.
What about the Rickard?
And then the Rickard, he was a developer, the Rickard.
So
he used to make, you know, like smaller farms and then sell them.
So it's like it's been subdivided and divided.
Yeah, like it was 3,000. Riley had it in 1830, 3,000 acres he had. And then this was part of it.
So what did you buy this as? How many acres?
31 there was here.
And how many have you got now?
We've got 8 here and 5 there next door. But the railway's taken that.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. So, the railway's going to be running. Have they already bought that?
Well, they claim they own it. They haven't finalised yet. Look, Bishop.
So this was in...
It's recent.
Yes, yesterday. Mm.
We've had some work for 2 years old.
Have you turned it off?
No. I just... But, well, so how long has that been going on for? I mean, I remember photographing here in 2005 on Byron Road and the railway line was going to run through there.
Well, I think it started most of it in 2008, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not right. Mm.
Oh, that went a bit earlier than that as well.
But then there was talk, I picked it up in a open road, NRMA open road. They were talking about that in 1968. And then I thought to myself, I think I can remember them mentioning that, you know.
Mentioning the railway.
Yeah.
So then, what is this area going to become, where we are sitting on now? Like, how is this going to change?
This is the way they got it planned now. So this is going to be a town centre.
Your house?
No, this area here, where the station's going to be. That's if it happens.
That's right.
Well, they're supposed to start this year. Hurry up, wouldn't they?
Mm. Otherwise, what I'm doing is a waste of time, isn't it? Running around trying to capture everything. So, what are these books here? Let's talk about what you've got here.
Well...
We're going to talk and you can show me the photos and I can scan them later and make a note. So you went into the trucking business. Do you want to talk? We've talked a little bit about that briefly one other time, but...
Oh, you turn it off and I'll explain to you
first.
I want you to... No, but I'll explain to you first. Turn it off.
through. Just have to trust me. So you've worked in the coal... When did you start working in the coal industry?
1954.
Yeah. And so you've kept, obviously, an interest in, and articles on where you've worked. Is that correct?
Oh, no. That book got there, but it didn't...
So you worked at Burragarang, is that right?
Yeah.
And how long were you there? Is that where you started, or?
That's where the mines were. I was there from 54 to 99.
Yeah.
Camden train.
We can scan some of this stuff later. So, you keep these things? Tell me why did you keep that? Like.
No, I just got this out of the paper not long ago.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to get is gauge your interest in it.
No, when I see something like this in the paper, I cut it out.
Yep. Because...
There's the bullock team coming up the Burragarang Mountain.
Ah, yes. So what was Burragarang? Where is Burragarang?
Oh, well, you've got to go...
Just tell me the story so people will
know.
You've
got to go... You go to... from Camden, you go to the Oaks, and then Oakdale, and then you get on top of Natai, they call it, and then you go down in the valley, but you can't go down there anymore because the water board's got the gate up the top. And so it's water board. It's all flooded. Narendri...
There's a
guest house at Narendri, but they go in through the back way, or you can go down by plane. A small plane takes people going down there.
It looks like a beautiful valley.
No, but that was then, but it's all sealed like bitumen. This was a long time ago. No, I only cut this out of the newspapers not long ago. And I keep it. It used to take them 4.5 days or more to go from Camden back again.
And how do they go? By bullet, too?
No, that's at Yarrandri, silver mines.
Yes. So tell me what you did at the mine. You worked there for a long time.
Drove a truck. The first 15 years I would have spent on the road, and the rest was mostly around the plant with the truck, still with a truck dumping and...
And this is what this book is about.
Yeah.
Yes. And, I mean, you've worked there for 50 years, haven't you?
45.
45 years. So that's a huge length of time to be in one place. Will you have a look at some of the things in here? Like, take me through some of the book.
Now, he's the Max is down there now, and he's recycling the ponds that they had down there, recycling the coal, getting the coal out of it. That's where you got, that's the thing doing it.
Because I want to document some of that when Max is better. I've actually done Max's story. But I'll scan that in a minute. So talk to me about what Burragarang means to you. Like, what is it? You were there for 45 years. Like, you were in the landscape for 45 years. That's a long time. You were part of it.
When I first started, I started the Clintons. I was there 19 months. I'll show you the truck I started with.
Yes.
Where is it? I've got to find the damn thing here. Not mine, but the one like it. I never took any photos. Must be this way somewhere.
Just take your time.
Where is the damn thing? The bins. Started with.
So describe that truck.
Well, it's a 5-ton Austin. We used to carry about 8 ton. And what we used to do, we used to go down the mine and bring the coal up to Narillan. That's where the bins were. And the rails, like, they used to load trains there, but they used to screen the coal there in Narillan. And if we didn't have many Sydney loads to take, we used to go back and get another one, you know. If we had two or three Sydney loads, we used to cart them. We used to supply all the factories, a lot of factories, brickworks, hospitals, everywhere. Goodyears, Arnott's biscuits, everywhere.
So coal supplied everything. It was.
Yeah, well, all the factories and that, and brickworks, they all used coal, different kinds of coal. The brickworks used a larger coal. And then.
So let's talk about that for a minute. Just talk about.
All the coal used to be screened there at Narellan from the mine.
So when you say screen, you mean so you'd break it down into different categories? Like large coal?
Yeah, they screen it, and yeah. You get about three or four different grades.
Uh-huh.
And we used to supply the factories, and it shows you here how the bigger trucks, they used to bring them from the mines. They didn't have a hoist on them. They used to have electric winches to lift them up, and they used to tip it in the grid, and it used to go into a... on a conveyor belt and up into the bins and get screened. And we used to, smaller trucks used to cart it and supply Sydney.
So where would you travel?
We're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney, Liverpool, we even went to cable makers, hospitals.
So what sort of coal would a hospital have? Like what sort of different grades? Different...
nutty stuff, like, you know, and the brickworks that take the bigger stuff for the kilns.
So it'd all be about the size of the kilns, would it?
Well, and some of it's bigger for the brickworks. What they do is to do, crush it sometimes too to get it smaller. And I was there for 19 months, and then we used to have certain times to tip, and if you got late, you'd miss out. So a lot of people going to Fox. The transport manager of Fox, he used to call Clinton's his driving school. You go and tell him you work for Clinton, he give you a new truck to start with. So I went to Fox in December. 55, and because we still had to go to some places like factories and that, but not as much. Their main carding was to Balmain Powerhouse and Casula Powerhouse.
Because the industry changed then, had it?
It was still the same.
Uh-huh.
But it was better. He had a better run, like, you know, than what they had. Because some factories used to shut early, and if you broke down or late or something, you know, you'd have to leave it on till the next day. But with Fox, you could go to Balmain 10 o'clock at night and tip Balmain Powerhouse.
Which is now, well, it's still vacant. Finished.
It's
nothing.
No, it's on the map. It's,
I don't think they made
it. It's still showing, no, it's nothing there, but it shows where it was.
Oh, right, okay.
On the map, on the directory, street directory.
Yeah.
So that was that. And so, in 1967, mm-hmm. no, 1960, I'll show you what happened.
I'll scan these later. I'm just making a note of the pages.
No, 1960, because in 1961, all the factories changed to oil, and in 1960 Clinton's built a big washing plant. We call it washing, but it's preparation plant where they used to wash the coal over here at Glenlee, the other side of Narellan, and Fox built one on top of Mount Natai up there, on top of Mount Burragoon Valley. They built a plant there to wash the coal, and when they built it and got it all going, they sold out. Clinton's were bought by Rio Tinto, and Fox sold to Placer Developments.
So,
and most of the coal from then was export.
So you moved from local supply, like metropolitan supply, to an international supply.
Yeah.
So the markets were changing internationally.
Yeah, because
companies.
All the factories changed to oil. They used oil instead of coal.
Yes. So then you're driving something very different from that point on, is that right?
Oh, yeah, but I'll show you here. I can remember the day when the transport manager came up and said, listen, put a truck under every bin. See the trucks under the bin?
Oh, that's great.
Because the boys were coming out to have a look. And there's Stan Fox's Oldsmobile. And that's the transport manager, Ernie Hill. That's when they took it over. And that's when they sold it to. He's got here. Let's read it. Oh. International trucks under bins taken in 1960 before sale to Cleeter. Now, there is a mistake. It was sold to Place of Developments.
What was the first name again? Place?
He got on here that it was sold to Cleeter, but. Cleeter come in later, but it was sold to Place of Developments. Oh, well.
So why you got the trucks there for, under the bins?
Oh, you know, make it look a bit like it's...
Oh.
Everything's working.
Oh, so it's for the photograph. So
yeah, well,
propaganda, we call it.
Oh, well.
Construct, yeah.
That's how it was when I was there. Had one, two, three, four, five bins it had. And then in 67, they built two more big ones here. And then another one from there goes to the road bin, where I used to operate most of the time.
That was Benny's
bin? Yeah, yeah. And there was two of us used to look after this of a daytime. We both had trucks, and we used to, when there's no export coal going out, we were dumping it with a conveyor belt. They had a conveyor belt as well, and we used to dump it with trucks as well. On different stockpile, different grade coal.
So, what did you love about it?
Oh, I loved about it. Loved the people I worked with.
Was he always dirty? Look,
even my grandson's dirty. Look.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Look at him. Look, he likes trucks.
Is that Shane? Is it?
He likes trucks. He's a diesel mechanic now.
Is he?
Yep.
Yeah. Is that you?
Yeah, that's me getting out of the truck. We used to bring the trucks home for 35 years, and when Max took over, it was a different setup. We had to drive to Narellan for the car. But we had the trucks always at home. That's me at home. And this is when I was up around the plant when Max took over, I was driving the dump truck up there, see? I was under the bed loading it. That's a reject bin. We're carting the reject down in these big gully where they build the big dams, and all the slush used to go in there, and now I used to recycle and that and getting 20% coal out of it.
Is that clever?
Yeah. Mm. Costing him nothing to get, only costing him wages and machinery,
yeah.
But I mean, he don't have to pay anything for it.
Mm. I'll scan those shortly.
Now, there's Stan Fox and his wife.
And is that Lindsay Fox's father?
No relation at all. No. He put a lot of money in race horses. He used to have a horse hospital for horses in St Mary's, and he had a big farm property up at Cooler, and on the I don't know what year it was, but he died. He wasn't very old. He had a heart attack coming. He wasn't a pilot. He had a pilot with him, and he died young. Oh, young. He probably might have been. But she lived to 99. They had no children. The way he got it here in the book that they were. I think English descent, you know, background. Yeah, this fellow was still working when I started. He's dead. Look, that's in 1938 he was.
So it's an old industry.
Oh yeah, they started before. Look, I'll show you here the trucks that they had when they first started. They got all the whole families are here, Clintons and Fox.
Where did you get the book?
Oh, this fella wrote it.
Yeah, where did you purchase through where?
No, I got it direct from him.
Oh yeah.
He's doing another one now about the mine. Look at the trucks they had when they first started. 1925. First load of coal here.
They're in chaff bags, are they?
Yeah, they got it in bags. They had no tippers then, but look at the solid tyres. These people here, they had a guest house down there in Barra Grand Valley, and they had a sawmill, logs. There's a woman, she used to do mechanical work on the trucks.
I'll try and get hold of this horse for myself. I'll contact this person again.
No, I don't know if you've got any left, but if you want to take it.
No, well, I won't take it. It's your pride and joy, I can see.
No, but you can give it back to me.
Would you trust me?
Yeah.
Good on you.
Why not?
Good, I'll guard it with my life.
We'll trust you.
Thank you, Benny.
See, this fella, he's not in the truck. But he went out of control going down the mountain, and he went over the cliff.
Were there a lot of accidents?
Oh, not that many. Mm. It was scary around the bluff corner. They call it the bluff. You come around an S-bend.
So how did Max Dumbia get into the industry?
Oh, he had a few trucks of while he was still in Liverpool on the coal.
So did it provide you with a good income and a good life?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, like I said to people, you know, we make good money, but we work, you know, long hours. We didn't,
Hard. It was hard.
It wasn't
long
hard
hours.
Work.
Long
yeah,
hours.
But the hours, yeah. Yeah. But I reckon I'm not, you know, I think I had the best job there.
You were a driver, was that your classification? And what were your duties when you first started?
Well,
tell me literally.
Well,
what...
when I first started, I was on the road for 15 years, but then when a washing plant and that, I spent most of my time there. I still drive a truck. And we used to use the truck for dumping, and when we were loading trucks, we'd just park it.
So what sort
load
of truck
another
did
truck.
You... Tell me about the truck you drove when you first started. Tell me what sort
an
of truck.
An Austin 5-tonner.
So you first drove an Austin 5-tonner.
Yeah, and then I got a Bedford S model. That carted about the same, 8.5, 9. And then I got a International when I went to Fox. And then we got a six-wheeler, and then after that they got single axle trailers, and then they got baggy trailers, and then tri-axle trailers. And then when Dumby and Max took them over, they had 9 B doubles, but you know.
So what does 9B double mean? Tell me what
that
means.
Double, 9.
Double wheels.
They had two trailers, like.
Oh,
but
yes, okay. So then what?
But I don't ever used to. They had special blokes driving them, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they wasn't allowed in some places, but now they can go anywhere with them.
To summarise, so the industry changed from what to what? It changed
from
coal to oil.
Well, the companies, when Place of Development bought it got changed about, and then I think it was Daniel K. Ludwig, and then BP after that, and then Clutha.
So
it got changed that one. The biggest change was when Max Zambia took it. We got paid up. We got all our, if you had long service leave, I had sick days, I got paid all my sick days.
So it was like
they used to accumulate, your sick days will accumulate. I had 125 sick days when that company changed hands.
So can you tell me how old you were when you started driving trucks?
23.
You were 23 and you were farming up to when?
Well, 54. I only put one crop in. So 53, I was on the farm.
So you moved from tomatoes to driving trucks.
The coal industry.
The coal industry.
Yeah.
Because you like driving trucks.
Oh, well, it was a good job. We were making good money.
How did you get your job? Tell me about that process.
I went up. I went to Clinton's, and Alan Clinton, they had a brickyard there as well on the other side at Narellan. So I said, any chance of a job? Oh, I got no jobs for a young fella. And then this fella I knew, he lived at West Hoxton, Eric Kirkpatrick. How you going, man? Oh, all right. Oh, you know him, do you? I said, yeah. And he gave me a job.
Okay, that's interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting.
So Clinton spelt C-L-I-N-T-O-N-S?
Yeah, it's in the book, you'll see.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I'm just getting your story. But I've got to write like 400 words for the telegraph.
Well, like I said, Clinton's were Fox driving school. So one day, this was in December when...
What does that mean when you say that?
Well, they learned to drive and then he...
Then you got a real job.
No, but I mean, it's not that he... It's a driving school, but he just called it like, you know, like a joke.
But what does that mean?
Because all drivers, they don't get a job unless, you know, you got to know how to drive.
Yeah, okay.
And he was only just saying, oh, that's my driving.
Like your apprenticeship type.
Yeah, but anyhow.
I'm just trying to get the joke.
Yeah, but because if your truck was getting a bit older and you wanted a better truck, of course I had a new truck at Clinton's too, but I just wanted to change, you know, because he had a better run. Better places to deliver, and you can deliver later overnight, you know, if you got held up. And so I went to Enfield Brick, tipped the load when I was still at Clinton's, parked up the road a bit, and went waiting for this transport manager of Fox's to come to the yard. When he come to the yard, I met him at the gate. What do you want? I said, I'm looking for a driving job. Oh, I got no jobs. He said, I got no jobs. And he said, where was you working before? I said, I'm still working for Clinton's. He said, see me on Wednesday. I come on Wednesday, give me a brand new truck.
And what did you get?
International, same, you know, 8-ton, 5-ton international, 8-ton used to car.
So was that the truck, a 5-ton international? Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Okay.
AR-160, they called them, but they used to cart about 5-ton. I got two of them, and then I got a bigger one, 6-wheeler international in 1960, and I kept it for 10 years because I used it around the plant mostly, you know, like when I was dumping.
What do your trucks mean to you? Like they must mean something, must they?
Oh, you know,
we got a
son. He's a panel beater by trade. And he always liked, you know, he liked mucking around with trucks. So he got his apprenticeship, got his ticket, he worked for a year or so, and then he went driving, and then he finished up on his own truck. So we've had people working where I am, but they used to be in the police force, and cabinet makers, and, you know. I don't know why.
You tab milk now?
Yes, please. Thank you. So what were the big changes as a coal driver and driving?
Oh, yeah, the latest trucks were like a car to drive.
What were they like when you first drove them? How would you describe them?
Oh, well, I mean, the brakes weren't too good sometimes. You'd be going down a hill and the harder you pushed, the faster it went. Push your brake on, then. But they improved a lot. They had CBs in them, air conditioning, radio, power steering. Go like a car.
So what were, in terms of coal, the coal industry changing, just be patient with me.
Yes.
That's the five we've seen. And there's the two they built in 67 after. Two bins they built later. In 67 they were built.
Yes, and what is, where is this located?
The same place.
Barajarang or whatever it is.
Yeah, up at the washing plant. That's a coal reject coming out, and they used to dump it away, and then they put a bin under there.
Where did the reject go when you say that?
Down in the hole. They were making big dams so the slush from the washing plant would go into it.
So the reject coal would go and form the
base? Not all this reject was coming out, but there was another, like a filter, stuff used to come out, like slush and that. It used to go into these big ponds.
Yeah, and that why would it go into the ponds? Would that form the basis of it?
Well,
something?
I mean, if they didn't build the big walls around with this reject, all that would have finished up in the water down in Warragamba. But when they build these walls and the slush would stay there and the water would just seep out, clean water come out. Because the water will be getting onto them.
For dumping.
For the stuff going down into the Warragamba.
So they would dump, and in these ponds they'd build.
Yeah. All the stuff, solid stuff would stay there and the water would come out clear.
And now Max is dredging it.
Yeah. And when this Daniel K. Ludwig owned the place, he was a big shipping magnate, and they wrote to him that the water board's complaining about the slush going down into the water. And the reply was, by the water board. By the water board. Buy them out.
Who said that again?
The boss from America.
What company?
They had it written on the wall. Whether it was a joke or what it was, but that's what they had.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yep.
A lot of money in it. A lot of wealth.
Oh, well, no, they used to have to pay fines if the stuff had gone down there. If we used to go down, before they built these big ponds, they only had a small concrete sump, or probably as big as this room, and they used to clean it out every weekend. But then when they made these, it was all that come out goes filtered through these reject walls, like this reject, and they come out clear water.
I'm going to have to do a bit of research because on the book, so I understand.
When they wash the coal, it goes through water and they put this magnetite, some chemical, it's some powder or whatever it is anyhow. It's magnetite, they call it. And when it goes through the screens and that, with the water, the coal floats and the reject goes down. And then and the coal goes one way and the reject goes another way. Yeah. See, the reject come out here, all the rubbish and the other stuff going into the bins. See the coal going into the bin there?
Yeah. So, and the bins you'd ship off to?
And then from there, they had this other bin, what they reckon it was my bin. It
Benny's
was over
bin.
Here, yeah.
So let's talk about Benny's bin.
What?
So, no, well,
what,
and
do
what
you
was
mean?
Your bin? Well, you know.
Because I used to operate, like, we had to load the trucks.
Oh, yeah, so that would be your bin to move.
Yeah, no, we used to load the trucks out of it.
And why did they call it your bin?
Because I used to operate it mostly.
Mm-hmm. And how many bins were there?
Well, there's only that one for loading, and all these, they had seven here.
So that was their way of acknowledging you somehow, wasn't it, really?
Oh, well, they used to call it the road bin, but they used to... to say that, because, you know.
How many trucks would it take to clear a bin? How much could the bean hold?
The coal was going in it all the time.
Oh, yeah. How much was feeding?
See, these old 2,000 ton each used to feed out of them. But when there's a lot of trucks come in, what they do, they used to go down to the dump, and this loader, this loader drop one bucket on them, and then they top up.
So how big was Benny's bin? How much could it hold?
Much. It wouldn't hold only about 1,000 ton. It wouldn't have, but it wouldn't take you long to empty it.
How do they operate today?
There's no bins. That's all gone. Finished.
So tell me about that transition. Why did that happen? What changed?
The mines were all two more. Like they mined it all out. It would have cost them too much money to mine more coal out to go in further, I suppose.
So when did the mine close?
Well, in 2001, I think it got here.
So just after you retired?
Yeah.
The mine closed. Did you know it was closing? Through your own knowledge?
Not really, but it was going down. It's slow.
How do you know it goes down? Because you're getting less out.
Yeah. But see, that all this now, it's all knocked down, and they got to bring it back to natural, like it was in 1959.
Before you went there.
Max has got to do all that.
So, what do they do now? How do they mine? So it's changed from sorting the coal into bins and trash. And what's the system now? It's far more technology, is it, where they don't... How do they sort it now?
Well, there's no more mines there. They're all closed.
All right. But do you know how they're mining coal now?
No, they mined it there. They have what they call a long wall in the mine. There's no timber and no blasting or nothing. It's a big machine. It just cuts it.
No people in there?
How they mine coal now? They got a long wall, they call it.
Yeah, right. And how did they mine it?
Oh, well, they had explosives in the earlier days and shovels and all that, but now they had them up there, what they call a long wall.
And that was the shift from explosives to labour.
It produces a lot of coal, but then when they got to move it, it goes back to manual, till they when a mine's a certain area out, it's got to move somewhere else, and it takes them a few weeks to move it.
How big was that mine? Does it say in the book? Tell me how big the mine was.
They had two down the valley that were closed, three down the valley, and the other side of the water they had three, but these others they opened in 68, Brimstone 1 and Brimstone 2. Oh, they used to produce a lot of coal, but...
So when you...
It's got too far in, it cost more, too expensive to continue or something.
So, I'm only going to ask you a few more questions, so just stay with me. I'm just trying to get a bit closer to... So, what was this... When you say you delivered all over the city, all right, you delivered all over from Balmain to Casula and wherever?
No, well, we went to a lot of places. I even took a load to Parramatta Jail once.
What for?
Well, I must have had a boiler or something they used it for. Hospitals and everywhere, they used to burn coal. And then when they changed to oil, well... That's when they decided to go and look for Japanese. Clintons, they went to Japan and got a contract, and then they start washing.
So, did you deliver oil?
No, we don't deliver oil.
Mm. You kept in coal?
Yeah.
And then it went to the two powerhouses?
Yeah, and the powerhouses, they finished too.
And then what happened?
Well, all export.
That's right.
That's why they built them, because they wanted the coke and coal. For coke and coal for steel. to make steel.
How do you spell that?
Coken,
roughly. Is it in there?
Same as coke.
Oh, coke. Yeah. So what you're saying...
They call it coke and coal.
That's a slang.
Yeah.
To make steel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. It's just interesting, isn't it? I'm just trying to get the linear story.
But I reckon, I don't know, it was in Japan or somewhere, they used to put it in a lake. It keeps longer, you know, instead of stockpiling.
So what did you love most about the industry? You stayed in it long enough.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Something's got to keep you there.
I don't know. It just went that quick.
45 years.
Yeah.
So what were some of the highlights for you? Like, what, just think of...
Oh, yeah. Getting up early.
What time?
What time?
What's a typical day?
We used to get up and leave. When we first started up there, they used to load the trucks at 4 o'clock in the morning, but then they brought it back to 5.
Why is that?
I think we were getting too early down at the harbour because they couldn't tip before 6 or whatever. Or up.
So when you say couldn't tip, you mean couldn't deliver?
No, well, you get there and you got to wait because you couldn't tip before a certain time. They were going down there with trucks a bit quicker too.
Yeah, so... You haven't said much. You said you'd get up at 4:00.
Yeah.
You'd tip early. You'd fill up and tip. Or would you have your load here?
No, but I mean, when they used to leave up there in the morning at 4:00, but then they brought it back, they made it 5:00.
Did it affect your lungs or anything, the coal?
No.
No side effects?
Not. Only affected me here.
Just lost
hearing.
It?
Affected me hearing a bit.
Did it?
Oh, no. They give us earmuffs later when the trucks were noisier, but the trucks were quieter, but they did have some noisier ones, you know. It's not...
Are we nearly done now? Yeah? I'll get some photos. So, do you bowl down there, or do you?
I used to more.
Tell me when you started going to the club there. How long you been at the club? 1945.
Since I got married.
And you don't bowl anymore because of your knees?
No, I used to, but too noisy.
Yeah, they're a bit of a mob, aren't they? I've had to mix with them a few times.
Yeah.
Oh, then Ivan, if I want to pick him up and throw him.
Yeah,
it's all right. Anyway. I'm tough. So you don't bowl. Tell me a bit about, let's just talk very quickly about the club, okay? Because you don't want to?
What club?
Well, the bocce club. You know, I mean, it's where you all meet.
George can tell you that.
Oh, well, George doesn't know much. You go there, you seem to like it. You're popular, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't mind doing a bit of work, that's all. Cut the grass.
Contributing. Yeah. Okay. Well, we won't even bother going there then.
Well, somebody's got to, you know, do something, you know. Otherwise, it's get out of hand. I told them the other day, it's like a truck out of control going down Mount Ursley.
That's a good description. That's how it feels to me when I go there sometimes. I don't have to go there much anymore now. I think I've done everything I need to do there. Tell me about the community here. Like, growing up here, being here all your life, basically.
When we were kids, we used to go to... When we lived, when I was about 14, 15, we used to go to pitches of a Saturday night, catch the bus.
And the pitches were at Liverpool?
Liverpool, yeah.
Is that the Medici's owned the pitches?
No, that was before Medici's. Well, they had two buses up Brunjelly when we were in Kelly Street. I think their name was Billet. Two brothers had two buses. They used to run, you know, to Liverpool, and we used to... I think they used to go to pitches Wednesday night and Saturday night. Used to park outside there and hop in and come home. You never know what they're going to attack you like now. You know, it was a bit different.
We're not living in a war zone, Benny.
I don't know, but what are they shooting at houses there? Every night you hear somebody's house is getting shot at. No. But it's not right. They should do, like, the law's no good. Like that policeman gets shot. I know he got accidental, but I mean, those two the fellas caused it, didn't they? What would you do with them? I'd send them back where they come from.
I don't know.
They caused the trouble. Fancy shooting at police. When we were kids, we were frightened of police.
My father was a policeman. I wasn't frightened of him, though.
I got a nephew. He used to be a bricklayer. He's doing the police force.
So we're getting back to community. So what do you think? So this area's going to change?
See, this here, even the older generation... Even I started that Ivan down there. We used to, every Friday night and Saturday night, we used to go visiting one another and play cards, you know, just for the fun of it. But when the television came in, it all changed, and the people, you know. Same as now, if you don't see many people unless you go to a funeral or a wedding, but there's not more funerals than weddings, isn't there?
Seems to be. All right, look, tell me your children's names. Benny?
George, Kathleen, George and Brian.
Where did they go to school?
Leppington.
What about high school?
Lanier.
Lanier High, Casula High, and... Shane and Casey, when they go to where? Private school. Shane and Casey went to
school. Yeah, but she's talking about...
Your children.
Children, not grandchildren.
Oh, right.